good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. You're radiant by design. You don't even think so. But you're designing what you spray out into the world, how you resonate in the world with all of your thoughts and feelings and your lineage and what you ate for dinner and, oh, my goodness, what you studied. We're sending out all these beliefs, some of it's karmic and so on. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I love working with people on this subject because if you can shift a whole lot of patterns inside of your body, mind, emotional self, you can consciously radiate out that sense of being a vibrational vehicle of light, a being of love or transformation of transcendence. We keep hearing that. If somebody from 200 years ago met you today, they'd say, oh, look at that shimmering being, because the frequencies on our planet and in our universe, in our solar system and in our universe, have moved up and up and up and continue to do so on a very exotic rate. Moving up! And then we're having all these earth changes and so on because we're in the heart of what's called the shift, which to me means the huge shift in frequency. We're told by many that we have the opportunity to become an entirely different species, one that is not so unconscious or subconscious or even consciously driven to dominance over others, but living in harmony with not only the earth and the atmosphere, but the universe as well, vibrating in such a way as to bring to amp up really our identity and how we can bring our gifts and our contributions onto the planet. Where'd you come from? I sort of laugh and say, well, Canadians and Americans come from all over the globe. Well, souls come from all over the universes, guess what? You and I have probably been to the Pleiades. We've probably been to, I know we've been to the Pleiades, and I know a lot of us have come from Arcturus and Andromeda and Orion and Sirius and all these different places that are way out there. And what did we bring with us? We brought tons of information from past experiences that we've had, past reactions that we've gained by having all kinds of drama. And why are we here on Earth? Far as we can figure out, a lot of us. We're here to participate in a grand experiment on whether this limited species that's also been given free will can unravel itself through the thousands of years we've been here, can unravel itself from the, think of a corset, from the stays and buttons and bows that have held us kind of in place through the DNA, and can we choose to empower ourselves, to bring ourselves past what has been the collective? What do you think? Can we do it? And I think during this time of the shift, we're learning pretty fast whether or not we can empower ourselves well enough to not only save ourselves from all kinds of devastation, which a lot of people are afraid of, but to create, to radiate consciously, going back to how we started this conversation, to radiate consciously to improve life for all living things, for the whole planet, for inside the beings who are living inside the planet, for all the plants, for all the living things here, but also way beyond, and for out into the universe. Can we radiate ourselves into a level of consciousness? What do you think? This is a call-in show, and I'm hoping that you're going to call in tonight after we do our meditation and talk about what you're going through. There's a lot of shifts. Deb O'Connor is going to be on at 7:30. She's an astrologer, a wonderful friend of mine. She's not so old, but we've been friends a long time. She's going to come on and talk to you about the impact of the new moon, all kinds of stuff, and things going into Aries, or Uranus going into Aries, which we heard about a couple of weeks ago, and how that's really impacting rapid change. And my feeling right now is with the Japanese, the earthquake and the several other earthquakes that have gone on around the world, and people's kind of fear, caution, and desire to evolve in all these moving energies instead of just be crushed by them or fight each other for the potatoes that are left or whatever. if we want to help each other, I can't remember where I was going with that. We want to learn to empower ourselves. And as an intuitive and energy counselor, I'd really like to do some meditations tonight to help you and to help me empower ourselves in all kinds of situations. Remember, if you change the energy, you change the reality. And if you learn to use energy and resonances to empower yourself, your stability, to honor the fact that you're a radiant light vehicle, way more importantly than you are a karmic blob full of all kinds of past beliefs and so on, golly gee, we can actually become that species we hear is going to be the evolved form of humanity. So anyway, call in and tell me what's going on in your life. How are you handling some of the chaotic things? How are you handling relationships, finances, projects, daydreaming projects, things that you want to create? What's going on in your wealth, in your life? All right, that's enough of a monologue. I'm hoping you'll all call in right after the meditation. I don't have to talk so much, do I? And I get to work with you. So let's do our sacred geometric energy meditation together. I get such good feedback from a lot of you saying, I love the meditation. It makes you feel strong and powerful. And do this your own way at times because, golly gee, you can really help other people doing this. And this is the time we need to learn to help ourselves whilst helping other people. It's called a win-win. Close your eyes. That's right. Take a couple of deep breaths. And above your head, about 2 miles, call up a golden ball below your spine. Another 40 feet or so, another golden ball. And drop a filament of gold light from the upper golden ball through the spine into the lower golden ball. And from the upper golden ball to about waist height, maybe out 20 feet or 60 feet, however you feel it. Drop a four-sided pyramid, and again, the lines are gold. That's a high-frequency color and a high-frequency element. And there you've got your four-sided pyramid sticking up. Create one that sticks down, and its point goes into your lower golden ball. And when they meet point to point, you've got yourself an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. Do you see it? And now inside of your octahedron, create a crystal ball, the outside edges of which touch the inside edges of your octahedron. Remember, that crystal ball is for, it's the feminine energy. It's a very kind of a womb-like energy. It's a very creative energy. And notice when I create that ball, I feel a difference in the energy. Do you? And then inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron. That's a three-dimensional Star of David. And you're inside of it, so let's all spin and spin and spin in our star tetrahedron. And as you spin and spin and spin, and I get really spinny when I do that, I can feel it, can you? And as we spin and spin and spin, see in front of you a whole bunch of screens. It's a magical screen. And on the first part of the screen, create a little movie of you becoming what it is you want to be. I always want to be multidimensional and come from the heart. I want to be able to pop off to Arcturus or wherever and just experience my other aspects of life out there in the universe. What is it you want to do? You don't have to do what I want to do, but I'll just admit to you what I'm after here. And then when you really get a sense that you can do that and be that, and you really can feel it, then wrap it in light and move that little movie over to the right and let it perk away. Now our second movie up on the screen is that you're creating something you really want to create. Maybe it's home and family. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a cake. Maybe you want to have a whole new career. I want you to see yourself bringing all those pieces together and see the pieces, the resources that provide the pieces coming to you, flowing from all over the universe. And you're in a state of graceful reception. And then see all the pieces of your project coming together. Wonderful. See yourself just smiling away, going, wow, this is my biggest dream come true. Yum, yum. And as it's functioning beautifully on your magical silver screen, good, then you see all the resources coming in and absolutely surrounding your project so it can be maintained for as long as you feel it's important to maintain it. And you're having such a good time with that. And when you're satisfied with that, wrap it in light. And then let's move to the Galactic Healing Center. It's a center that we're making up. Somebody said, is it way out in the galaxies? Maybe. I don't think so. This is our dream, our imagination, our magic that actually works. So I see it as a beautiful place, and there's this healing table, and it's fresh and clean and almost blue-white. And all around it is my healing team, the magical beings who are invisible to the normal eye, but we know they're around. They're standing around this table and going to do some healing work. And the first person who lies on the table is, ta-da, you. So as you lie on the table, you may have a pain, an ache, or you've been sick or something. You can ask for the kind of healing you want. And I'm asking for something as well. Now, you don't always ask. Sometimes you can lie there and say, go ahead and do some healing for me and tell me what's going on. What do I need to learn? But I'm actually asking a question about my own physical body, and I'm asking them to work on me, and they certainly are. Don't forget to look at who's your team. What do they look like? Good. And let's see them working away on you. Can you feel the energy as they work on you? I sure can. In my case, they're pulling out a lot of old fields that have been left in there. What are they doing with you? And when you can feel that buzzing in your body, mind, and you know that something's really effective, and wrap that in light. Say thank you. Wrap it in light and let it continue stewing. I send mine off to the right all the time. And then this is magic. So we can have our team replicate themselves and stand around a brand new fresh table. And let's bring in someone that you know needs healing. I'm bringing in a man who's quite old. And all of a sudden, he's got a really painful back. I think when he was young, he actually cracked his back, but nobody fixed it, and he managed to get healed. But now that he's older, he's 90, and it's starting to really cause him a lot of pain. So we're going to take him into the healing room and see if the beings of light, yeah. Now, they'll often tell you when they're working on you what it is you need to remove in yourself. You might want to jot that down in your mythical, magical paper. Maybe you don't have paper in the healing room, right? Good work. And when you feel like that person on your table is getting some kind of healing energy working through them, yeah, I'm not quite finished yet, they said. All right. Then we wrap it in light, and we send it off to the right. And now let's bring in Japan. Let's have a fresh table, only this is big enough for a country. And we have a huge team. Now remember that in channeling, very often there's a huge, huge coalescence of beings. My guides used to say I had like 75 beings. Now they just say there's just an infinite number. So when you have a little healing team around your table, but each of them is connected with consciousnesses as well. So see yourself bringing in many more consciousnesses of all kinds, of all levels. Some might be, as in Jackie's group, but be lots of ETs and so on. And some would be spiritual beings, and some are, that could be the same thing. And some is just, for me, I get a lot of consciousness that doesn't have a physical form. It's hard to explain. So what do you get? It'd be interesting to talk, but you can call me after this and tell me what you see. So what you see is this myriad, this infinite supply of consciousnesses around Japan. And we bring Japan in and put it on the table. And we feel the infusion of higher frequency energies permeating and penetrating the land and the people. And feel the intrinsic love. The divinity in everything has love, doesn't it? So let's feel that intrinsic love moving through the people. And we're asking the team of consciousnesses and healing to do their magic on this Japan, on the Sendai, and the area that's been damaged, but how it's spreading and so on. Yeah. And just feel it. And just have them show you what we can do. But I know pouring love energy and healing energy into that area is very, very helpful. There are many who say this is the end times of Atlantis reenacted, and if that's so, I believe, but I never quite believe anything. I'm always open for the expanded thought. But in any case, if that's so, it means that we can change the endings that have been experienced in devastations of communities before. We can change them with our consciousness, with our love, with our intentions, with our help from the unseen ones. We sure can. I don't know about you, but I feel really hot as we send energy into Japan and where the damage has been. And all of Japan, in fact, for their economy, their food, their water, their clothes, love of their people. We're all one. Good. And then wrap that in light. And then move it to the side. And now let's do our political healing. Let's call in the pink and wonderful, radiant pink light of harmony and of unity and community around the world. Have it come in from the great central sun in through the tops of our hands and the top of our heads, coming down our heads, up through the heart, out the arms and the fingers. I had our hands sticking up at first, but doesn't matter. You figured it out, haven't you? And then we're going to send that light that we really embrace and harmonize with. We're going to send that light to the various places where there's incredible action going on, like in Libya, in Yemen, and I guess we should still keep going with Egypt and Iraq and Iran and Japan and any of the places, North Korea, all the places that we're hearing about on the news media where there's disruption. But the other thing we're hearing a lot about is corruption, where there's dominance by big corporations or governments or dictators, or dominance by of our food and our, you know, all this stuff. Let's just flood those head offices or those places that we see as the center of those things. Just flood it with this pink light of love, and you open your heart and really just send that light. Because we're all in this together, ladies and gentlemen. Holy mackerel, aren't we? It's a community of consciousness all around the world. Let's raise our consciousness and see that we ourselves can participate in making it a win-win for all. Love springtime. It always feels closer to the win-win possibility, doesn't it? And have that light, that salmony pink radiant light, move round and round and round the globe, infusing all kinds of people in power, people in loss, people in illness, people in dire straits, people in expanded states. Yes. There you are. Until the whole world is absolutely flooded. And what about the ETs, aliens, all these different beings from different parts of the universe? Let's have them rejoice as they see this amazing, harmonious light that they too can partake of. Let's find a way to be harmonizing with them as well. And run that light round and round the globe one more time and bring it back in through your hands, arms, into your heart again, up through your neck, up through the head, and straight out into the great central sun. Woohoo! We're all one here. And now jump back into your, close off the Galactic Healing Center and jump back into your star tetrahedron. Spin. And then jump out into the room and let's talk. Let's talk about you. It's a really important time. It's called the time of the shift. And we're going to hear from Deb O'Connor pretty soon, but it's interesting because during the shift, we've got planetary involvement. That means astrologically, all kinds of faster energies are moving through, resonances are speeding up inside of us as well as outside. How can we take advantage of that in order to learn more about healing? We're going to talk about that tonight and any other darn it thing you want to call in about at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. You're listening to Radiance by Design here on wonderful BBS Radio, and I'm your host, Veronica Entwistle, and I love to talk to you, so I hope you wrote that number down or get it off your computer screen. And as we talk about the shift, I guess what I get really excited about, even though it's very tumultuous out there, I get really excited about the number of people around the world who are really trying to empower themselves, who are learning a lot about healing, the kind of healing where people are getting very, very ill, and then they're getting really better. And a lot of times it has to do with the time it takes for people to understand the emotional things that have caused the illness and how to release themselves from the trap of that, which has created a density within, perhaps because of a tendency in the family to hold their pain that way or whatever. There's a lot of people that are not living in the kind of status quo of we have, oh, goody, you're calling. Just wait one second. The status quo that says we all get ill by doing this or that. There's a lot of people moving out of it. So we're going to talk about that and other things. Well, we have a caller. Good for us. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Hi.
Oh, good. Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Glad to talk to you.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you for a while.
No, it's about time, don't you think?
Yes, I've been thinking about you for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, good. That's because I'm irresistible, right?
Right.
So what's your question tonight? You're looking pretty good. You've got something on your mind. Are you worrying a little bit?
Just worrying about the Japan issue.
Yeah, it's something, isn't
it? Yeah. And I have a goiter, so I'm really concerned that my thyroid's going to get worse.
Are you doing your iodine?
Yes.
What did I hear tonight? I heard a little bit of Fred Bell, who's not somebody I listen to normally, but I just turned on BBS to see what was going on. And there was a fellow on there who was saying that we've got to do electrolyte drinks.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, he said that they found some studies have shown, of course, you know, I just heard this an hour ago, so who knows. But anyway, some studies have shown that people who have good electrolytes have better ability to combat any kind of crazy radiation stuff, and he also said iodine as well.
Right, right.
So I think I would consider that, but I want to look at your throat, okay?
Okay.
Here's the thing I wanted to teach tonight, Debbie, as I wanted to say to people, when you have a concern like that, like when did you get your goiter? You got it like a few years back, didn't you?
Oh, I've had it, yeah, I've had it a long, long time.
It looks like you had a crisis just before it, though. I was talking about how our emotional stuff creates the density, mm-hmm. but I look at yours, and yours is like a shock trauma just before it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's probably because of the the property that I own in Las Vegas that's so upside down in value.
Ah. And you remember this, that the body's like a library, and we store all kinds of thoughts and feelings in different parts of our body, but the neck and the throat and all of that is consciousness of self and how we present our own personal wisdom into the world. And you just got a big block there. It's like a balloon that's blowing up, right?
Yes.
Have you explored the emotional content of it?
No, I haven't. I mean, outside of the, you know, I try to release tension now that spring's here. You know, and of course, you live in Washington, too. Mm-hmm. Now you're able to go outside. Today was one of the nice days. You could go outside and almost sit on the porch.
It was a beautiful day, wasn't it?
Loose.
I know. I just always want to say more. Come on.
More. Yes.
So what we're going to do, what we're going to do is focus at the base of your throat there, and we're going to see if we can do a little bit. Everybody, wrap yourselves in light, because when you're doing healing, you don't want to just take on each other like tent caterpillars do. You know, living in the same tent sort of thing. You want to step out of the resonance, don't we? So wrap yourselves in light, and then pay attention to any place in your own body. And Debbie, we're going to work on your throat. Pay attention to any place in your own body that's holding a tension or frustration. And I want you to call in the healing team that we all have, and let's just see if we can, there we go. We're going to send some light. There's a tension in your, I'm paying more attention to Debbie than I am the rest of you right now. I'm right at the front of your throat, right at the bottom, there's a really dark patch that's just holding tight, and we're going to see if we can blast that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And do you know what the guides are saying here is that as that happens, Debbie, you may find that you're going to cry. I don't mean you'll cry right now. You might find you need to cry over the next day or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've locked down something, and I don't know what's going to happen with that property. But I would stick it in a double tetrahedron and spin it and spin it and spin it, because there's something about a way that you're going to find a, something's going to happen that's going to work it out. You may not get all your money, but you'll get some.
Right.
And that's a prediction. Do you, have you already worked on that, where the deed is and all that?
Oh, yeah. That's a very frustrating experience.
But you know what, honey? I think something's going to turn around with that.
I think so too.
And it's not 100%, at least that's how it looks to me, but I would do some magic if I were you and see if you can make it 100%. But at this time, you're going to get something. It's not all lost.
Good.
And so I want to go back into your throat, and then I'll have to say goodbye, because our friend, another Deb, is going to be calling shortly to do our astrological report. There you are. What is your birth sign?
I'm a Scorpio. I was born in November.
Okay. Can you feel this on your throat?
No.
Well, I'm just doing it a little bit more. And
kind of release the knot.
Good. There's something going on, and it may take a while. You don't have a swollen gland on the right side, do you? Left side. Left side.
Not left side, it's on the right side.
Oh, it's on the right side. Welcome to the mirror.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we're just going to do that, and then I'm going to have Deb come on, okay?
Okay. All right.
It's wonderful to hear from you, and we're wrapping your place in, and other people can do this with their own. Let's stick it in a double tetrahedron and just spin and spin and spin that, okay?
All right.
All right, Debbie, thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. So I'm hoping that Deb's going to call and tell us what's going on with the planets any minute, but that was a really good example of someone whose sense of power, and I hope you're still hearing this, Debbie, because your sense of self-empowerment is going to move up. You're going to open to being much stronger about who you are, the consciousness of self is going to change, and you're going to feel much more able to, I guess, is it conquer? It's not conquer. It's bringing yourself into the world the way you want and not being afflicted all the time by what's going on out there. And we're going to ask Deb what she thinks is, Debbie asked about Japan, but we're going to ask Deb about what she thinks about the astrological stuff and the climates and the climate changes and the earth changes. Are you there, Deb?
Hi, Ronnie. I'm here. Hello.
Hi. You're not even late tonight. This is great. And this is the world traveler, huh?
Yeah. The Western.
Yeah. This is Deb O'Connor of Love Dog Design. She's going to tell us all about the planets and the new moon. It's the new moon tonight, right?
No. The new moon is on Sunday morning, early.
Okay.
But the Mercury went retrograde yesterday, and they both are working in Aries, which is where Uranus is. We've been talking about that. And I think that what you were talking about tonight, Japan, Earth changes, all of this, it's all Uranus and Aries. I mean, in the most distinct sort of way of thinking about it, radical changes, beginning new things. That's what Uranus is doing in Aries. But the reason the new moon is going to be so significant on Sunday is because it'll be a new Aries moon. And we get a new Aries moon once every year. You know, the moon is new each month in a different sign.
Mm-hmm.
So this month is going to be in Aries. In Aries, the first sign of the zodiac is all about courage and initiating new things. And a lot of times it's about helping all of us to see where we could stand to be a little bit more patient, which isn't a bad idea right now.
I'm really not patient right now.
No, none of us are, and it's because Uranus has gone into Aries. So it's like this great, big, huge outer transpersonal planetary energy is just putting everybody's lives on their heads. I mean, we're all feeling like the Earth is sort of shaking under our feet, whether or not we're living in an earthquake zone or not. I think we talked earlier, you and I, a little while ago, and I was saying that I stayed in Mount Shasta last night, and Mount Shasta has such powerful energy up there. And I felt when I laid down, finally, my whole body was just, I don't even know how to explain it, vibrating.
Mm.
And it just, every time I woke up in the night, it was doing that. That's a kind of Uranian and energy, but it translates into a lot of different parts of our lives. And, you know, it's just all about completely and totally reinventing the whole thing. But the reason I'm even talking
about
it
is about invention, isn't it? It is about
it's
invention.
It's all about it, reinventing everything, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Recreating our way forward. And that's, the thing about that is that it's not easy because we're all wedded to the old ways, even if we think we aren't. Because there's no safety net here right now.
Mm-hmm, there
and
sure
that's
isn't.
Part of the, don't you think? I think that's part of the, that's part of the challenge of evolving consciousness is that the consciousness cannot stay fixed where we've been for probably, who knows, hundreds of thousands of years. So it feels scary.
So security is shaking apart, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of security is shaking apart.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the Saturn opposition to all this. Saturn wanting to hold onto traditions of stability, and a lot of them are patriarchal, and I don't know. You know, and the thing about this, Mercury went retrograde yesterday, too, in Aries. So it's just, you know, if it wasn't already crazy, it didn't already feel crazy out there, and Uranus really does make us feel crazy, crazed and crazy, because things are shifting, and they're out of our control, and we're being brought into these opportunities to understand things in a completely new way, completely unconventional. But when Mercury goes retrograde, which it does three times each year for 3 weeks each time, then we really feel crazy because the harder it's like being in quicksand, the harder we try to think about it, the more confused we'll get right now. We've got about 3 weeks of just, we just need to simmer down and sit back and tune in to the frequency that's way deep, the inner mind.
But what can, so it can really be an advantage if you want to rethink where you're going.
Or even re-intuit. Because I think the point with this, with any Mercury retrograde, is that we really can't think logically or in a linear way when Mercury's retrograde. So intuiting is a really good idea right now. And you know, again, the sign that it goes retrograde in has a lot to do with the kind of 3-week phase we're going to have, the inner dialogue, And with Aries, it will have, all of us are going to be, are going to find where we just really need to learn something about patience, where we want to bring more courage to a situation, where we want to start over. I mean, just start over. It's a really good time to just sort of sense. I'm telling you, the new moon now coupled with Mercury retrograde, sorry. We've talked about this before, but it's really hard for me to isolate any one of these from another because I feel like they're this great, huge, gorgeous orchestra of energy working together.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say that because the new moon in Aries says new beginnings and so on, and the Mercury retrograde says go and re-intuit things, high-speed resistance or something, do you think it's kind of like a deeper way of beginning things quite quickly? Do you see what I mean? It's like, can we marry the two?
I think it's a newer, it's a good time to understand that the newness, the thing that's brand new, is like you were talking about the frequency that things vibrate at, and I guess that's why I brought up the fact that my body was just buzzing last night, and it's been doing this every once in a while lately. I've never had that happen before, and I think that the newness is a new way of experiencing how we perceive and then communicate those perceptions back out. That's Mercury's job. And so when it goes retrograde, and it's coupled with the new moon in Aries, it's almost like this crazy paradox, because Aries wants to just get out there and do stuff. It's not interested at all in contemplation or any kind of inner direction at all. That's what makes, I think the next 2 weeks are going to be really challenging for all of us. Because you know, one part of the energy wants us to just move forward, and the other part of us wants us to learn what we can do with that kind of initiating sort of energy. Is energy. Aries is energy incarnate. What can we do with that if we work intuitively instead of just reacting? How can we respond rather than react? That's probably one of the things we're going to be taught here.
So the retrograde could be very good since we're doing new beginnings. Meaning,
I think all of Mercury retrogrades are good.
Okay.
I love it when Mercury goes retrograde. I would feel like the work I do and probably the work you do is as smooth as it could get because we're working with an inner language all the time anyway, you and I. So when Mercury goes backward, it's just like, oh yeah, this is where we live.
Yeah, and I often like it the best. I have to admit that.
Yeah.
And people are stumbling around going, oh my gosh, Mercury's retrograde, and I'm kind of like, oh okay, it seems fine.
Well, it's just that we're all so used to having everything go really quickly at our fingertips. I mean, it's just like, you know, everything. I mean, now that everyone has smartphones, just the term. Somebody was saying to me the other day, why don't you just get rid of your computer? And I thought, no, I don't think so. I don't want to just, do you know what I mean? Everything is happening so, so fast that we're forgetting that really that isn't what we are. Mm-hmm. That's what technology is, but that's not what we are.
But you know what I heard the other day, Deb, is somebody was saying that this is just the herald. I used to say that I think it's training wheels for our mind to have this email, for example, all over the world. But they were saying that literally in a while we will not need technology to do all that. We'll be able to do it intuitively.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm trying to get at clumsily, but you just said it perfectly, is that when Mercury goes retrograde in a sign like Aries, and it's happening almost on top of, right in the same energy wave as this Uranus and Aries transit, this great big huge new beginning, you know, the beginning of an 84-year cycle, and then on top of it you throw a new moon in there in Aries, which just is like throwing a little spark on top of all this. There are lots of things happening, and the biggest thing is resonate everyone with the energy that you carry from the inner dimension out, and that's a new way to understand communicating. I mean, I think one of the ways we're going to move more and more forward, and this isn't astrology, this is just you and I talking about how would we do this then, this new way. We may be speaking more in symbols, and we may be doing more grokking, where we can just really, again, intuit a situation so well that we don't even need to blather on about it so much.
Well, I also like what you said about going in and bringing forward. You didn't put it in these words, but this is the way I understood it, was bringing yourself forward in a resonating with authenticity, or resonating from way down deep inside into your external process, right? Into your external presentation.
Right.
That could change an awful lot of things amongst our species, couldn't it?
Well, how amazing would it be if everybody was working from their most authentic, the sort of core self? That would be, everything would be aligned.
Talk about new beginnings, eh?
Mm-hmm. And I think that it really is a beginning of more and more and more people recognizing that so much of what we consider to be culturally safe or culturally acceptable isn't really feeding or nourishing the deeper dimension. And most of us really are starting to just sort of chafe against that, I think.
We sort of have to. Like what's happening in Japan, they're going to have to rethink their whole life, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm going, they're kind of the epitome of all that we're talking about, in a sense.
And I almost wonder if they aren't just these extraordinarily brave light beings that have said, we'll sort of sacrifice our lifestyle so all the rest of you could pay attention to this and maybe pay attention to this. I mean, what does this mean to all the rest of us relative to how we live our lives and what's really important?
That's a super question. And also, I don't like to think people sacrifice that much, but at another level, it's probably true, isn't it?
Well, maybe it isn't even sacrificing as much as the job of the soul in this particular lifetime was to take on this role.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure is changing people's passivity about nuclear power plants, too, isn't it?
Yeah, which is, and when you think about nuclear, the nucleus is that's all energy, isn't it? I mean, isn't
mm-hmm.
that true? All energy exists in that. It's like these human children have got this technology they don't really know how to contain now. Our technology's gotten way ahead of us relative to nuclear power, I think.
Power. It's really funny.
Power.
Yeah, it's almost too hard to think about it so much, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently David Letterman is doing his business by, Bob is telling me every night he's talking about how he's going to have some thugs dismantle the nuclear power station in Manhattan. But maybe people like that are actually generating that possibility in people's thinking that we could move that out, we could get those kinds of things taken off the planet.
And that's what I mean by all this newness. It really is. And when you think about Aries again, you are talking about energy incarnate, and that's mm-hmm. that's also nuclear.
Isn't Uranus also nuclear?
Well, Uranus is really good at science, or anything that's just sort of brilliant-minded
and technical, right?
It's kind of almost beyond technical. It's more like, what's the vision that would be so far beyond what anybody else has thought of that really nobody could have thought of it but Uranus? It's just way forward of the crowd. Any crowd, a crowd of intellectuals, it's way beyond the intellect Uranus is,
mm-hmm.
the human intellect.
So we really need that right now, don't we?
Yeah. Uranus, you more equate with quantum physicists or, you know, that kind of science where scientists actually say, yeah, we get to a certain point where we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful because we need to move very, very fast beyond the way the status quo is held. Money, economics. Oil, whatever, don't we? We have to move past that or not.
Yeah, we do. And that's also the Saturn part. That's that Saturn Uranus opposition. Another thing about this new moon in Aries on Sunday morning out in the west, where we are out on the Pacific coast, it's going to be 7:30 in the morning, so they just sort of, you know, affect that back to you to the east coast. I think that makes it 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, but in this country, but is that it's going to be conjunct Jupiter, which just enlarges everything. It makes everything bigger and more, in Aries, more intense. So it's just, I just love this new moon that's coming. It's such an incredible time for all of us to just start something new, like start over. I mean, I'm going to, everything's the macro to the micro, I'm going to try to start doing what you do so beautifully and learn how to make those incredible vegetable drinks.
Oh,
I mean, this is a little thing, but it's a new thing.
And it's a really wonderful thing, because you think about all those greens. It's photosynthesis, isn't it? That's creation of life and using springtime.
And I, you know, the new moon is almost like this little, it's like the last little sort of skyrocket of the equinox in a way, because, you know, equinox starts when the sun goes into Aries on the 21st of March. But then we have to wait to get the Aries new moon, just depending upon the cycle. Some years the Aries new moon, you know, happens right after the equinox, but this year we've had to wait a couple weeks, 2 weeks to be exact.
I really appreciate your coming on, because I know you just drove five states, as you said, to get home to the Bay Area today. So I really appreciate you coming on, Deb. Tell people how to get hold of you.
Oh, go to my email is probably the easiest thing. It's Deb, which is short for Deborah, D-E-B, at lovedogdesign.com.
I really love talking to you. Thank you so much for your report. Now I'm going to slow down. I'm going to speed up on the outside, but I'm going to go backwards inside, right?
Yeah, and when you're slowing down and speeding up, give me a call.
Take care. Much love to you. Thank you for your call.
Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow, there's so much going on. One of the things about retrograde, I didn't ask Deb about this, but I think that we have the capacity to drop, when we drop inside, how about this? And the energies are just ramping up all over the place. When we drop inside, we really have the capacity to get in touch with, just like we were doing with Debbie's call, get in touch with aspects of ourselves that need healing, whether they're mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual. And I want us to finish this. If you call in, you're really welcome. But in the meantime, I'm going to start you on a little exercise. I want people to realize that we can go inside. We're magical beings. The energies that are vibrating in us are releasing a lot of tensions in us. And we can find places that are not well, if you will, or that there's a density and so on. And we can. And I want everybody to do this exercise with me. Just wrap yourselves in light and drop inside. Perhaps you've got a sore knee or a sore... I can see somebody over there. She's got a really sore elbow. It just aches and aches. Oh, goody. We won't finish this exercise. We'll finish with you. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya. How are you, honey?
I'm doing okay. I have sore kidneys, and I'd love to know what you see going on with that.
Okay, everybody, keep wrapping yourselves in light, because we're going to do a little healing on Jaya. And you can also use this for the people at home. You can use this on yourself. You don't have to be working on Jaya, but it's just the example of how we can do it. It's a very, very powerful energy time. Okay, so Jaya, you're a really, really sensitive woman, and you've grown a lot over the last little while. Do you know that?
I hope so.
Okay, just a sec. We're going to go into your both kidneys, eh?
I guess so. The adrenals also. It's just very, sometimes it's very painful back there.
Has it been going on for a long time? Just like off and on?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it's getting more intense.
Okay. And we know that the kidneys hold a lot of, we know the adrenals hold stress, right? But the kidneys hold a lot about, there's a question here about honesty, and then it's about sensitivity and kind of fear, and there's something about honesty in yours for some reason. I don't think it's your honesty, okay? But there's a question about honesty that is just, when I say that, even my body starts to vibrate with some kind of like inner reaction. There you go, right there. And what we want to do is bring light into Jaya's kidneys. This is what I would do. So if it's your knee or your elbow or whatever it is you're doing, call it in, see if you can get the feeling in it. And if you can't, just bring light right into it. And meanwhile, ask your higher self and your guidance for some information on what emotions are stuck there. Because in Jaya's case, you have ongoing, almost eruptions, of an insecurity, timidity, fear, sensitivity. on some questions about honesty. I want to say this, is that there's a feeling right now in around the world about the revelation of so much corruption going on, and that's really hurting a lot of people. And you've got some of that going on and some more personal versions of that. Do you understand that?
Uh-huh.
It's like what's going on in Japan or what's going on in Libya or, you know, any of those places, or what's going on with the economy or the global oil. All of that actually is hurting you more than it would normally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we're pulling some of that out. Not, I mean, your body is a resonant chamber, isn't it? It's kind of interacting with the whole global mishmash.
Unfortunately.
Well, I want to say this, is that the energies are changing really fast, and to find out what the feelings are, the emotions that are locked in there, and you've had three periods of your life where these particular parts of your beingness have kicked in response to inability to trust, is a good way to put it. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so they're saying that to bring up those feelings and kind of bring them up and out, even temporarily, gives your kidneys the opportunity to soften and, you know, and to strengthen themselves. Mm-hmm. And that the feelings will come again, but you can continually move them out. Yeah. And you've got some kind of help coming. You know that?
Oh, good. What kind of help?
I don't know. I just see a male figure coming in. Here I come to save the day. It's not it's not quite like that. There's a male figure coming in, and you feel somewhat more supported in a short while than you have.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that's probably over the next week or so. So look for
really?
That. That's not as big as what you're looking for, but it's really nice and helpful and will bring in a kind of a calming to your body, which is, Deb said her body was sort of quivering at times and she was getting a vibrational rush. You've got your own version of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this being, who I believe is a very good friend, is going to make you feel stronger and more secure.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but in the meantime, call it up, feel it, and command total release. Will you do that?
Sure.
Thank you for calling in. Let's talk soon.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Jaya.
Thanks, Veronica.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's really interesting because, you know, when we talk about the energies are speeding up, we're vibrational vehicles of light, and there's all this stuff going on. Oh, my, I better take this call quickly. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. This is Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you, Stephanie. How are you?
Doing well. Just came back from play practice.
Good. Did it go well?
It did. I've been having some very strange insights, but
that's because it's a strange time on the planet. You only have about 30 seconds. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. I still have a feeling that what I need to be doing is going out and getting people out and singing with at natural sacred sites on the earth, and also about prophesying. And I really feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know that it's coming together, but I was wondering if you have any insights to help me with that.
I do. Also, you wrote to me, and I wrote to you, you wrote to me about Randy Masters, who was our musical healing fellow. He is going to be on again on Tuesday night. He's going to refine some of the things so people can have even more practical information from sound healing. So if
what
you'd
time?
Like to, it's going to be on 8 o'clock Tuesday night. And if you'd like to send me some questions for him, he's leading a group to, he goes to sacred sites. So I would talk specifically to him.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. And I immediately sent your letter to him. I don't know if you got a feedback from him.
Not yet.
Okay. So let's go back to you. I've only got about 2 seconds left. I want to say that you have coming up in you. Have you been writing a lot? Because coming up in you, you've got like a burst of an idea, and you're going to be involved in a small group. It's a little bit north of where you are. I think north. I'm not always right in direction, but not far away. And there's a small group that's...
I've had a novel and a play and all kinds of stuff that want to come out.
Well, you're talking about sounds, and the specific question you asked me, that's going to pop up in a new way in a very short while, and you'll start doing some of that, maybe in a small way because you've got 40 other projects.
Yeah.
But I have to say goodbye, not because we don't love you, but because it's the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, it's so good to talk to you. I really, after reading your bio, I really appreciate what you have to say even more because I can see myself in that. And
Well, we are one, right?
Huh?
Well, we're one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and I'll talk to you soon, but I have to go or they'll hook us off stage.
Okay.
Bye, Stephanie. This is Veronica Entwistle saying tune in on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and meet with Randy Masters. He's a maestro of musical healing and so on, leading people to sacred geometric sites like the pyramids. And he's going to the pyramids, I think, at the beginning of May. He does a lot with sacred geometry, sound, shape, color, and so on. It's going to be a very interesting show. If you have questions for him, email me in advance because I don't think we'll do call-ins. Jackie has gone off. She's getting some healing done, and she's doing a show tonight that's a repeat, but it's all about future self and creating your reality by working with your future self. My name is Veronica Entwistle. If you'd like to feed me back on this show and any ideas that you have for guests, or if you'd like a session with me, which is a wonderful idea as well, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle.com, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle.com. Take in a deep breath, take in all the love light you can, and breathe it out to one another in the Radiance by Design community. Remember, we're all connected, and thank you for listening and being a part of my community. Good night. Much love.